High School Slumber Party is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
School is out and it's Friday night. I'm all wrapped up and I feel alright.
Welcome, Cave Nugs, Babes, and Buddies. Oh, and an extra special shout-out to that unique weasel out there. This is another freshman year edition of High School Slumber Party, the podcast where me and some friends look back at our teenage years through the lens of some iconic high school-centric films. I'm Brian Rodriguez, and the party's at my house this evening. But first, we got some homework assignments to talk about. John Cusack, by the way, is still blocking us on Twitter. And if you're new to the show, listen to some old episodes to figure out why. Well, I don't really even know why, but he blocked our page on Twitter a while back, like week one, or maybe week two. Still pissed off about it, and that's a homework assignment every week. Get John Cusack to not block us. The other assignment was, well, I guess last week's episode, did you guys listen to it? Did you guys listen to our episode on The Last Picture Show? One of the greatest, not just high school films, but a great film. If you haven't seen The Last Picture Show, definitely, definitely check it out. It's worth your time, certainly, if you're a high school film fan and a film fan. And it was a good movie, you know, like, it was not just like, you know, there's some, like, movies that everyone needs you to see, but then, like, you really, okay, like, you know, it's not as good as they say. This one lives up to the hype. And I hope the episode lived up to the hype as well. Joey Lewandowski, the Godfather, and Tobin Addington were sensational guests. Really put me to school on this film that I hadn't seen before. So definitely check out The Last Picture Show, and check out our episode on The Last Picture Show, which was last week's episode. Hey, 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 whoa, whoa. What do I always say? The bell doesn't dismiss you. I dismiss you. So your other homework was to watch Encino Man. Now, I was reading through, like, my notes, and I realized that this film was called California Man in, like, every other country besides the United States. So if you're not from the U.S. and you know this film as California Man, cool, I guess. I kind of like the title California Man better, because Encino is just like a town that, well, honestly, I don't think I would know it if it wasn't for this film and like modern internet technology where I can like look up where a place is. California Man is a much more broad title, and I like it. I don't know, maybe you guys disagree. Anyway, we got two great guests for you today. Two friends of mine, two high school friends of mine, one you know very well at this point, Kyle Reintree, the once and future king, but the once and future co-host of P.S. I Love Hoffman, little hint there. He's back, of course, Mr. Foodie Films now. And another friend of mine who was also on this show before, he was on the Halloween episode, Dan Ferrara. He's here today too, and we're chatting about Encino Man. So I'm going to leave you with a song that's super, super important to this film because it's in the makeover montage scene. Right Said Fred's I'm Too Sexy. So you know what that means. Pack your favorite jammies. Tell your mother you're sleeping over Brian's. Because we're about to get our party on. Class dismissed.
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love, love's going to leave me. I'm too sexy for my shirt, too sexy for my but so sexy it hurts. And I'm too sexy for Milan, too sexy for Milan, New York and Japan. And I'm too sexy for your party, too sexy for your party. No way I'm disco dancing. I'm a model, you know what I mean. And I do my little turn on the catwalk. Yeah, on the catwalk, on the catwalk. Yeah, I do my little
turn. Lois Ingmetrius.
That guy's in 40-Year-Old Virgin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one guy. The one guy's in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
I do have notes.
The other guy is in... I mean, he's in a bunch of, they're both in a bunch of stuff.
They're
but
both
the other,
that guys,
but the
yeah.
But the other guy I specifically remember from Adam Sandler's Mr. Deeds, and when they're on the plane, and he's like, "For here mm-hmm. am yeah. I floating yeah. in my yeah. dream
far above the world. Planet Earth is blue, and there's nothing I can do.
What else is Wheezing the Jews in?
I think it actually might be only...
Son-in-law, I think.
Figure we's a little juice.
He says it again?
I love when he's
he
just like...
He used it no, as his like personal catchphrase.
This is like the first movie where you get like...
True Pauly Shore.
Like, yeah, like we need some fundage and get grinded. And like, it's the first time you hear all of that. Like.
I love in Son-in-law when he's just like, now let's just get some orange juice and make some screwdrivers. I love Pauly Shore.
So, Dan, you're a Pauly Shore guy.
Yeah. Age-wise, probably the first thing was In the Army Now. And, like...
As a kid, you used to always talk about that movie.
Yeah, you know, that was, like... It was like I grew up on, like, G.I. Joe's. I loved, like, Army things. And then it was, like, this, but it's funny. And, as you've known before, it also had Lori Petty in it.
Lori Petty, one of your girls.
Dude, 95, Lori Petty, like, Tank Girl.
Tank Girl, not a high
Free
school
Willy, Free Willy, Lori Petty.
You know, I forgot about that.
She's a whale.
Yeah.
She was a whale.
things went downhill pretty quick. Went looking for Brody and then Steve Hoff.
I don't want this to go unsaid. You're like, I mean, Dan was already like a big Pauly Shore fan, but the reason he has most Pauly Shore stuff on DVD
well,
is
because
of you.
Yes, yeah. Yes, I did one Christmas. It was Christmas, I think? Yeah.
It was Christmas.
I bought you a Pauly Shore gift basket with every Pauly Shore DVD.
Including Jury Duty, which nobody cares about. Like.
But not Goofy Movie.
Not a Goofy Movie, no. I didn't count that. It was like Pauly Shore movies, not Pauly Shore. Like, that doesn't feel like a Pauly Shore movie, a Goofy movie.
No, it's not. He's not in it.
You always tell me a funny story about a Goofy movie. That was like the first time you realized that you brought your mom to a movie that wasn't for her or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know how, like, it starts with the, like, dream
yeah.
in, like, the fields or whatever? And we, like, showed up late and I'm, like, upset or whatever. But then, like, the movie starts and it's just so ridiculous. And I think it was, like, when it came along to Pauly Shore's line of, like, it's the Leaning Tower of Cheesa.
Huh? Max, look. It's the Leaning Tower of Cheesa.
Like, I just had this very... adult moment of just or just like growing up moment of realizing like oh my parent is
here.
Yeah is taking her time, her well-earned time, and putting it towards something that I enjoy.
Brian, how's your power line tattoo coming?
My power line tattoo, that's another funny
got a
thing.
Shirt
yeah, FYI. I was in the car. Yes, I shouldn't be searching and driving, I know that. But I was in the car, and I was like, I wonder if anyone's ever done a power line tattoo. I looked it up, I posted it on Facebook, and so many people messaged me or responded like, oh my god, you got that tattoo? No, I do not have a power line tattoo. But anyway, Pauly Shore, we're talking about him, because the movie we're doing today is Encino Man from 1992. And I just wanted to mention, I never read the Rotten Tomato consensus, but I wanted to read it today just to see if you guys agree, disagree, or are neutral about it. The critic consensus on Rotten Tomato for Encino Man is, Encino Man isn't the first unabashed silly comedy to embrace its stupidity and amass a cult following, but whether or not it works for you will largely be determined by your tolerance for Pauly Shore.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that is, like, it's if you know going into it, you know, just what Pauly Shore.
But how long after the movie came out was that written? Because Pauly Shore like still like wasn't Pauly.
He wasn't established yet. Yeah.
Pauly Shore was like in and out. Like you know, of the...
Yeah, but if you know Pauly Shore's bio, like his mom owned the Comedy
Store. Yeah, Mitzi owned the Mitzi Shore.
So that was his stand-up routine even as a teenager. So that was like the kind of character. He was like doing it, I think, on MTV as well. Like that was his almost Bobcat character. I mean, he's kind of like that too.
No, he's still... I was listening to...
Except Bobcat's like a really good director these days.
Bobcat has a bit more to say. But yeah, Pauly Shore has... He's had like three different podcasts, and his current one is just called like Pauly Shore like Rants or something or other. And he was just like, the one I listened to today was he just got back from a trip to Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and Moscow. He's like, all right, so you're in Tel Aviv and kind of like Miami Beach. He's like, but Jerusalem, oh, it's like so spiritual. And he's just like, and the babes. Like, that's like what we saw him live.
Yeah, we did in a shopping mall.
In a mall, in the Palisades Mall. Levity Live. I decided like a half hour beforehand. I was like, do you think you can make it to the mall on time? And we met at the mall.
Why not? I must have still been living at home or like at my parents' house.
No, this was recent.
So I must have been at my parents' house.
Oh, okay.
Like, let's go to the mall.
Wasn't it like right on my birthday? I wasn't here, but it was right around.
It was close to your birthday.
It was right around my birthday. I do remember that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're hearing two voices besides for mine, of course. Kyle, I'm not going to consider you a guest today because you've already been a guest
a proxy.
Many times. No. You're official guest co-host.
Ooh.
So you have more duties, kind of like Philip Seymour Hoffman, but I can keep you in line if I want to. I could fire you, man.
All right, I'll try really hard at this job. That's my Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Because I'm not asking you to be Philip Seymour Hoffman.
All right, thank you very much. I'll try really hard.
Because I'm not going to ask you how your high school experience is like. Guys, if you want to hear about Kyle's high school experience...
It's a much sadder podcast.
Yes. No, but I mean, we go pretty in-depth. Listen to all the other Kyle episodes.
Yeah.
You know, or you can listen to Foodie Films, which I'll let you promote at the end.
Cool, thank you.
But we got a new voice today. Friend...
A new kid in school.
You were the new kid in school at the beginning of high school.
I was going back to high school.
So, Dan Ferrara. Dan, on this podcast, we introduce ourselves in a certain way. We say our name, our school, our graduating year, and what the school team name was. So just say that for our audience.
High school or college?
High school. This is a high school slumber party.
Make much more sense.
Okay.
Yeah, right. But we all went to the same high school.
It's very repetitive for the most part.
All right.
So far.
Yeah.
Well, on the ones you're on, of course, but on the ones I do with other guests, it's not as...
Yeah. That's true.
Of course for yours. Jesus.
All right. My name is Dan Ferrara. I went to Northern Valley Regional in Old Tappan, and we were at the Golden Knights.
The Golden Knights. Go Golden Knights.
Go Golden.
Oh, what year? I mean, I know this, but...
05.
Class of 05. So Kyle, Dan, and I all went to high school together. I remember meeting you on the first day of school. No, I met you a couple days before with Sam.
Yeah, it was Sam.
And then I remember seeing you on the first day of school with your sister. First day of high school. Mm-hmm. So I ask all new guests this question. Dan, what were you like in high school? What was your high school experience like?
Apparently, after talking with you guys, I don't remember much of it.
So,
not for any good reasons. I just apparently wasn't paying attention for 4 years.
So you blended in.
I was very forgettable.
I think our core group of friends are forgettable people.
Yeah, I was definitely like a that guy in high school. Kind of like the sense that like Kyle said. It's like we had our core group of friends, and I guess I just didn't care about like anything else. It's like I got like four people I talked to. I'm good. I don't need to make any new friends.
Yeah,
I think there's like six of us at that point.
Yeah, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but besides like set construction running crew for like the plays, you weren't in any like extracurricular.
I did like no extracurriculars.
Yeah, I did marching band. Brian was in track.
No, I did.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it wasn't.
I didn't do
improv.
Improv, but like. But even Brian's friends from track, while there were like other kids in other grades, your closest friends were like Dow and Mike, who are still like close friends, and Anthony, and like. Close friend and Nick, and
I still live in high school. I still live my high school life.
So. Yeah, but like I mean, but in marching band, I hung out with the drum section, which was Wes, Dan, Kim, Sam, like who were all, you know. And same went for set construction, running crew.
But I feel like you skateboarded right from time to time at the beginning.
Yeah, same people.
I'm just trying to get it, even though I was there trying for the audience to get a sense
like,
of
was,
who you were.
Desperately trying to be. Cool punk rock guy, but I lived in Old Tappan, so
in the New Jersey suburbs.
Yeah,
like... What's more punk rock than the New Jersey suburbs? A lot of things.
New Brunswick basements.
How close was your high school experience to the film that we all watched, Encino Man?
Nothing like it, in the sense that...
I was like, wow, you have to think about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a West Coast... It's like the epitome of, like that West Coast hands-off style teaching. Like, there was... They just were in and out of class. Like, you know, it's like, there was no... Well, yeah, we were also, like, the first post-9/11 high school ever, so maybe we had a little bit more.
We were six days into our freshman year.
And, Kyle, I feel like a lot of the podcasts
I bring up 9/11.
Yeah, that you bring up 9/11 when you're a guest of mine. So I mean, no, you didn't bring it up.
Just like the only thing, it's like even like when I talk to like my fiance or people I went to college with, they were never allowed to leave on like free periods or like leave for your lunch. Where we were. Like, we were allowed to, like, if we had a car, you can go. Didn't have anything that period, just go. But, like, that's not common.
Is it not?
Huh. It's not common. Around here where they came from Hamilton, that was not a thing. But, like, it's, like, to the extreme in, like, this, you know, like, as far as, like, and I feel like not just Encino Man, just anytime a California high school is shown, it's not so much a high school as it is, like...
A campus.
Like, you just go to your one class, and then it's like, oh, I'm off on my scooter.
Like, yeah.
Like,
I mean, I don't know how accurate that is, but certainly in the film.
Okay.
That's how films decided to
take this from a movie point of view. In Encino Man, Dave asked Stoney to take Link. He's like, you got to cover him for fourth period. He's like, yeah, no problem. They end up at Magic Mountain, and like, and they're going through like this, like the whole like convenience store scene. They're at Magic, so they're gone for like hours. It's like,
yeah.
So your fourth period was 6 hours long because you're not home till like the end of the day. Like, you just ask them to cover him for fourth period, then you're just gone.
Every time I say this, I say a different number, but like a third or a fourth of all the films that I've seen for this podcast so far have taken place in the Valley, which. I looked it up. Encino is in the San Fernando Valley. Right. I'm using air quotes because I really don't know. Again, I've never been there. But so many of these Valley films, and they all... Or you're right. The Southern California high school vibe feels so different. Like, it feels more like college in terms of campus-wise.
Except they're not actually learning anything because their public school ratings are terrible.
I mean, to steal from Joe Borghoff, who created our class t-shirts...
Another person you bring up, I bring a lot on this podcast.
This is just Kyle's bitterness. Then.
No, you brought him up, and I talked about him in the whatever the podcast.
No, you said Joe Borghoff. Whatever. Well, let's not...
But
roll the tape.
I think... But these are the tape.
Diverging.
Yeah. No, but these characters at least have, like, a bit of senioritis, you know? Got senioritis.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
It's like right towards the end. You know what I'm saying?
Right before prom.
So if you guys haven't seen Encino Man, well, you didn't do your homework.
And you're not living.
And you're not living, apparently. But as I do on every episode, I read the back of the VHS cover. This is a DVD cover I'm reading. I'm assuming this is part of the DVD basket I bought you, Dan.
It is.
I love that Sean Astin isn't even on the cover. It's Pauly Shore and Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, I forgot he was in this, honestly. I hadn't seen it in a while, so... Ahem. Starring outrageously hip Pauly Shore. Sorry. Let me start that over. Starring outrageously hip Pauly Shore, Encino Man unearths the biggest laughs in 2 million years. The fun kicks off when two high school buddies dig up a frozen caveman in their backyard. Once the living fossil thaws out, the friends figure he's their ticket to being cool. But the plan backfires when the newcomers turn everyday life upside down, generating pretty hysterical craziness wherever he roams. Co-starring Sean Astin and Brendan Fraser, you'll definitely dig Encino Man. The totally irrelevant, totally awesome comedy that shows just how hilarious, out-of-control things evolve once the Stone Age meets the Rock Age head-on.
I love that this movie is about, like, them wanting to become, especially Sean Astin's character of Dave, but, like, wanting to become cool and finishing that pool in time to have, like, an epic post-prom party or whatever. But, like, as soon as they find that one bowl, if they just brought that to, like, antiquities, like, dealer, they would get, like, thousands of dollars for that bowl.
Yeah,
like,
that could, I mean, well, my whole thing is just, like, without giving anything away, by the end of the movie, there is a pool there.
There's a hole with water and it looks very muddy.
I was gonna say, I don't like. Did anybody pour concrete? There was no.
No, it looks like it's
no. That's definitely not up to code.
Yeah,
definitely not up to code for sure. But yeah, I mean that pretty much summarizes the film. I mean, you know what's weird about this film? Like getting right into it, stuff happens at the beginning. They find a caveman, and not much happens until the last 20 minutes after that. It's just kind of like adventures with
Caveman.
Yeah,
no, there's nothing that moves the actual plot along. It's just like, hey, what kind of funny things can we have a caveman do?
Yeah, it's like fish out of water, but...
not even that cave, much.
Caveman out of...
ice. Do you remember the first time...
Man out of time.
Fish out of time. Do you remember when you guys first saw this film, or any memory?
Definitely used to play a lot on like WB11. Like, I saw a lot of TV versions before, you know.
It was either that or, like, you know, maybe, like, a HBO, like, when, like not talking, like, HBO, but, like, HBO on a box, like, an illegal box.
Yeah.
That my dad probably got, you know, fell off a truck.
Wow, those were so, like, common back then. Yeah. Like,
I remember it was a gray box, and it went to Channel 99, and it was, like, the shit.
I saw so many movies illegally that way. Yeah. Like, on, like, those kind of channels.
I don't know why I specifically remember watching, oh, what the hell is that Michelle Pfeiffer movie?
What Lies Beneath?
No. Oh, it's going to burn me now. I just thought of it.
Think of it.
She's like, I want to say Stand and Deliver, but it's totally not Stand and Deliver.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Oh, Dangerous Minds.
Dangerous Minds.
Dangerous Minds, yeah. We'll cover that on this podcast. He saw Dangerous Minds illegally. So just want to go over cast and crew really quickly. Les Mayfield's the director. Kylie's one of your favorite directors because he directed one of your favorite films, Flubber.
Flubber. And Blue Streak.
Blue Streak.
And the remake of Miracle on 34th Street. I've done my homework.
Illustrious career, because you're the official co-host of this episode.
I kind of like his early, like, so this was his first feature. Before then, he was making, like, Makings Of, which I would love to be a director of Makings Of.
Yeah, that'd be a cool career.
Right?
It's consistent work.
Again, cast, Sean Astin, I mean, Rudy, Lord of the Rings, but kind of.
And Goonies.
He's Bob in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a Goonies reunion, Data's in this movie.
Yeah,
you know, no, Short Round.
That's how I know him. He's in it, and but he's not like that funny or cool. He just like, he's a high schooler. Yeah,
he's a geek.
Other people in this, Brendan Fraser, obviously.
What happened?
No, now he has a show.
He does have a show now,
and he's doing well.
He's playing like a CIA agent.
Yeah,
he like blackballed or something.
Yeah, he was. Or I think he has like a crazy.
I think he had Billy Zane.
No, Billy Zane was blackballed.
Yeah.
No, Brendan Fraser apparently, and I don't know this like for fact, so guys, you can correct me, but he has like a crazy child support settlement that he was like really backed on. Like, his divorce settlement was like nuts. Like, he said he couldn't afford it. It was something like that.
More work then. Doesn't keep you from work. That makes you want
to
do more.
I don't know.
You're just trying to get
he's a decent actor.
Yeah, I like him.
I like Airheads.
I like this cameo.
George of the Jungle. I like his what?
His cameo in G.I. Joe.
His cameo in G.I. Joe. The Mummy, the three Mummy movies.
The first
and then
Mummy movie was...
I think the first two Mummy movies are good.
Blast
from the Past. I liked his little stint as... as the one...
How good-looking is Elizabeth Hurley still? Just throwing that out
there. I haven't seen her recently,
but
she's
like...
I haven't seen a picture of her in a long time. I would imagine she aged as well.
Stone Cold Fox.
So what movie were you going to say, Kyle?
Oh, no, I liked his stint on... he was on Scrubs for, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like a, you know, like a reoccurring role for a little while, then he, like, dies of leukemia or something.
Right.
So...
I think he's got good acting chops.
Random other people, I don't know if you recognize Dom DeLuise's son.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Shut up, you know that.
No, I don't.
The bad guy is Michael DeLuise.
Fuck off, that's his son?
That's his son.
I'm not...
Shush!
Shush!
I thought, no,
which
I thought
is one of my favorite things to say. No, I didn't see that. That didn't come up.
Yeah, that's Dom DeLuise's son, Michael DeLuise.
Are you... Wow.
Yeah, very
game
different
changer.
Looking. Very different looking.
Well, yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Like the...
No, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. Well, I know who Dom DeLuise is. I know who the bad guy is.
I recognized him
movie.
From one of the Wayne's Worlds.
He's in the first Wayne's World. There's three guys that like kind of look similar to one another. Two carry on to Wayne's World, two. He does not. But yeah, so the character's name is Matt Wilson, but Michael DeLuise is Dom DeLuise's
son.
Yeah,
Dom DeLuise's
son. He does not look anything like Dom DeLuise. He is a beak and everything.
Yeah, you're a big Dom DeLuise fan.
Yeah,
actually, Pauly Shore refers to it as a beak.
Matt Wilson? I mean, what a jerk. What is she seeing him anyway?
Well, he's got the buff spikes chilling on top of his melon, obviously, right? Dude, he's checking her cheeks. Oh. He's got the serious beak, his own personal holding company, full of fundage, bro, that he weases off of me. Jerk. 18-inch buys.
Mine are only four.
Yeah. Yeah, it does, yeah. But, like, a nice beak. He's, like, good size beak.
And, again, you mentioned Pauly Shore, who plays... What's his character? His character's name is Stoney.
Stoney.
But he refers to himself as the Weasel a lot, too.
Yeah. The Weasel. I'll be back. I love Pauly Shore. Pauly Shore to me is hysterical. I listen to I watch anything he's in. I love that he's like really close friends with Bobby Lee, who's just hilarious.
Really, he is?
Yeah, because Bobby Shore like gave Bobby Lee like a huge break as far as like being a regular at the Comedy Store.
I did not know that.
I love stand-up comedy, like, history and stuff like that. But one of my biggest crushes in this movie, Robin, how you pronounce your last name, though? Toony Tunny. I always hear different things.
That's not the one he's into? That's
no,
the...
it's the friend no. that, like...
That's the
I love...
In. She's yeah. in other things?
She's in the crack.
She was definitely...
Oh! Yeah. She's in... Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think she was in a movie we covered for PSL of Hoffman.
Vertical Limit,
I'm
you're
gonna,
right.
I'm gonna go through her IMDb right now. She definitely was in a PSL of Hoffman movie. Like, I think in a small role, but I love sexually forward characters, and she's just, like, got great gazangas. I don't feel weird saying that.
I think he likes your cones.
Yeah.
The cones,
Betty.
Yeah.
But even, like you said, like, how she's, like, she's sexually forward. Like there's so much, like, stuff that just wouldn't fly, especially post-Me Too movement.
Oh, like, of course. I mean, honestly, most of these
like,
films
like,
get like that.
Link
but.
Goes up and just grabs, I forget her name in the movie, but...
Well, one of the girls is Robin.
Robin's the one...
But that's not the actress named Robin.
Robin's played like, by an actress named Megan Ward.
Yeah, and that's the one...
And then they never say the other girl... They really never say her name, but her name's Ella.
Yeah, but, like, Rose McGowan's also
in... Oh, she was in Montana. Remember, she was, like, the love interest in Montana that ends up getting, like, killed by the boss or whatever.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I knew she was in one of them.
Oh, okay, yeah, now I know her well, so P.S.
Yeah.
Love Hoffman
great
tie in there.
Great Gonzagas.
She's not in something else, the other girl? Not Robin the actress, Robin the...
Oh, Megan Ward?
Be the assistant, Kyle.
Okay.
You're like the producer, you're like the guy behind the glass in this episode, like, you just like, look coming up for me, Kyle. No, you're right, there's a lot of things that would, like, quote-unquote rapey
well, I mean,
in
this
not
film. Even that. When it comes down to it, our protagonist, for like lack of a better term, Dave. He's not a good guy.
Oh God, he's so
like,
Sean Astin slash
like
Dave here is so not likable
like,
in this film.
And that's kind of the weird thing where Pauly Shore is your moral guidance.
And he's like the most intelligent
guy
here.
He
like,
is.
This bell is from the whatever period.
Yeah, he just knows it because like he apparently. Because that's another thing. In
great
like, high
Spanish
school,
speaker
like,
as well.
Like in high school movies, they always happen to just be learning about whatever the hell is happening plot wise. Like they're in their heights. Like oh, in science class, oh, we're learning about cavemen. Oh, I just found a caveman in my backyard. Yeah, you know, it's like so. But yeah, like Sean Astin's like he's what you like. He's a Redditor. I feel like right, like on this point where he's like you know. Here's my card. I respected this woman 9 times on the 10th time I'm supposed to get sex.
Yeah, no.
Like, and it's like,
friend zone kind
yeah,
of guy.
You know,
yeah.
And like, okay, we get that Matt, the bully dude, is not a good guy, but it's like she's dating him, and multiple times she said she's not interested, and multiple times this dude said, yo, she's my girlfriend, back off. And he just keeps going, then it's like, I don't know why he hits me.
Like, yeah, like, I, and then it. He's also, like, as someone that's been shallow, or maybe is still shallow, like, he
yourself
he,
you're talking about.
Yes, myself. He says at one point, like, to Stoney, or Stoney, like, says how, like, he could have had her. He's like, yeah, but she wasn't,
yeah,
like,
she wasn't pretty
a mega babe yet,
yeah.
Or whatever.
Dave, you're gonna have to just mellow out, bro, on this whole Robin thing. She always shines you, dude.
You don't understand. We have history.
Hey, you had history. Pre-freshman history. Could have had her back then, man.
She hadn't hit babehood yet.
Milk does the body good, huh? Check her. She's clean, buddy. And he's got her.
But I specifically wrote at one point, I was like, Robin, we've been naked together, and I just put, ew!
Yeah.
Like, it's just, he pulls out the little...
And the fact that he's going
ew.
Around with this picture.
Let's set the scene.
And it's not even like a sexy picture, like, hey, we were naked, like, remember that one time
no,
we got both got
when
dressed.
They were,
so
like,
no, here's a picture
5 years
when
old.
We were, like, 3,
yeah.
And I'm still dreaming about
creepy
that.
Creepy
So
that,
supposedly
yeah.
she was in PCU... I don't know if she's like one of the main
oh,
characters.
And
yeah. So college movie versus high school movie. I really don't. I honestly like, and even like some
John
of like
Favre
the, So, yeah, he was. He's got like dreadlocks.
Yeah, like dreadlocks.
like
it's
really
a bowl cut, but dreadlocks.
So for
nothing else.
Nah, for the actress Megan Ward, like there's some like TV shows, but it's like she's on for like a episode, and it's not you know, or an episode.
Okay, I was just curious because she looks like she has a familiar face, but I didn't know what
she's aged well.
That's always something you bring up on the podcast,
as well as Elizabeth Hurley.
Oh yeah, let me look up Elizabeth Hurley now, but. Stoney, I love,
like Stoney's your moral guidance. He's the one from the beginning. He's like, they find Link, and it's like, oh, he's our ticket to popularity. Yeah,
I just want to be friends.
And he's like, I'm just happy being me. It's like this whole like muddled sense of just be happy with you, like who you are. And it's like, that's cool. And it's like nobody's commenting on the fact that Pauly Shore just kind of looks like a super flamboyant version of Jim Morrison.
That's like true. That's so
also,
true.
Also, he resembles, but. The girl Alana from Broad City.
Yeah.
Remarkably similar to Pauly Shore in this
that's
movie.
That's so true.
Wait, which one?
Like Alana.
Alana
like
from Broad City looks like Pauly Shore in this film.
like the hair down to like the...
The fashion style.
Yeah,
it's not that off.
It's everything.
That's really funny.
So, she attacked your shit, Pauly.
There's
get
not much
back.
To explain plot-wise in this film. Like, they're just, again, like you said, digging a pool for like a cool party, and then they find
a frozen
ice.
Caveman.
Yeah, they found the bowl first, whatever, but they found the frozen caveman. They thaw it out in the garage. Yeah.
I'm reading like the quotes right now, and just so the quick little that exchange, like that initial weird exchange between Stoney and Dave about Robin. He's like, Robin Sweeney, bro, she's not going to the prom with you, man. I wish she would, but she's really not. And then Dave goes, what are you talking about? Robin Sweeney is mine.
Oh,
she's
God.
Become a major babe, and she loves me.
Yeah, it's
fucking
like,
creep. Yeah. Like, Sean Astin is a chubby, lispy, bland Michael J. Fox.
So he does have a lisp. I kept,
like kind of.
No, he does.
It's like his tongue is too fat for his mouth.
Yeah, which should be good for the ladies, tongue. But isn't. Yeah.
But, like, here's an even better point. Robin, throughout the course of the movie, Robin starts... getting the hots for Link.
Yeah.
And what happens then? He puts him in the car and drives him to the middle of the desert.
Yeah,
he's fucking
almost
abandons him.
And just says, get out of here because you're cock blocking me.
And Pauly Shore's like, you were using him.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah. Like, Pauly Shore's your moral guidance in this movie.
Yeah, and when that happens, you might have a bit of problems. couple things I want to talk about. So, when I did The Breakfast Club, Kara was on. Kara Gail O'Regan from Wistful Thinking, another show on the Cage Club Podcast Network. Listen to those episodes, please. We talked about Ally Sheedy's makeover in The Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
But she was saying how she had just seen Encino Man on TV. And like this was like a fun makeover scene for her. And I think it's interesting because usually you don't get guy makeover scenes.
He needs a bath. Big time.
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave me.
Love that. Too sexy. Boy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm too sexy.
It's a great...
Appropriate use of it.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about that whole makeover scene is like... So they have him in like the tub and they give him soap and like it's not strong enough. So they go under the sink and get every chemical they can think of. And it's like good for comedy, but really it's just like this thing would just like melt your skin.
Burn his skin
like,
off.
All the acid and like...
Yes, the random, by the way, the random like white man caveman that was like...
Yeah,
under...
the one caveman that happened to be... Yeah.
Hey, I have to give props to this movie that begins, like, in the period.
It does begin in, like, the theoretical Stone Age. There's an earthquake, and then, boom.
He's like, I hate earthquakes!
You know? but again, this makeover thing is, like, fun, you know, like, harmless. Brendan Fraser, good-looking guy.
Yeah.
So him and Pauly Shore were both the same age, 24, a little older than high school. And Sean Astin was younger. I think he was, like, around high school age.
Okay.
Makes a lot of sense. But I like how they make him over, but not, like, traditionally good-looking. They make him, like...
He even says it. He's like, Stoney, you turned him into you.
Yeah, they make him just, like, another Pauly Shore.
Which the world needs.
Plaid shorts and a paisley blazer.
It's funny that, like, this whole Spanish element, like first it's, like, whatever, Spanish class, and he, like, picks up... Certain lines of Spanish.
The Spanish club.
Yeah, like a
friends in the low rider.
I don't know, but what is it? It's just like a minority illegal immigrant club because it also has Jamaican people there.
Well, that's true because then the cops come in and the bartender just goes, you know, immigration, and everybody runs. It's not even like, it's not like just a Hispanic bar that just plays like, you know, Hispanic music.
No, because like, no, there's like Jamaican
it's
guy. Like,
it's an ethnic bar that they enjoy a conga line or two.
Conga line in the middle of a school day.
With an underage white girl.
The middle of a school day, too.
Yeah.
I mean, the can't go, like, plot-wise when you explain this film, because there really is not much of a plot.
No, it's just random scenes of what would be funny having a caveman do. And then, like, you're right, the plot picks up, like, an hour later.
Yeah, because I paused and I'm like, oh. Yeah, and it literally, this movie's an hour and 28 minutes long. It was an hour, like, 7 when, like, plot started to happen.
Yeah, finally, Matt, the boyfriend, like, has had enough and decides to go to Dave's house and figure out what's going on.
Which, all right, if we want to talk about that, like, it's
oh, the
not
breaking and entering?
Breaking and entering, but, like, I don't want to say what's the big deal, he's a caveman, it's not that, but it's not, like, that big of a reveal to people, as it's even shown at the prom when he says it. They're just like,
shush!
And it's not something believable.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Like,
and also, it's, I'm sorry, as much as I love this movie for the camping, it's like, I just love Pauly Shore being Pauly Shore. And we're forcing reality on something that is clearly not meant to.
That's what we do on this podcast.
Well, if you're edged because I'm wheezing all your grinders, just chill.
You got milk duds? Dairy. Dairy group.
You keep these under your pillows because otherwise your mom's gonna... Sorry, these are all things like clips you need to play.
Kashmir Rajneesh, is it how many minutes for the burrito again?
2 minutes.
1 minute.
2 minutes. I'm
1.5.
2 minutes. I'm
ready. Make up your melons. Is it 1 or 2?
1.5 minutes.
Okay. Okay, my friend. Try and experience what I'm about to chirp in your lobes. Okay, cool. Today, buddy, we're gonna discuss grindage. How to fill the furnace, pack the cheeks, and stuff the gills. Okay? You're probably used to eating twigs, right? But out here in the U.S. of A, buddy, we got something called the 4 basic food groups. And Link, this is not one of them.
Oh.
Look at what we have here. Dairy group.
Dairy group.
Milk duds. You hide these under your pillow, bro, so your mom doesn't find them. If she does, you're twigged, buddy. You keep on cruising. Fruit group. Sweet tarts. Oh. These are killer, buddy. So citrusy, dude, you'll freak. Keep on cruising. Uh-huh. Hey, this is the vegetable group. Vegetable group. Oh, corn nuts. Oh, put them on a pedestal, bro. Look at that. Yeah. Those are kill, huh? Meat group. Come on. Take the meat group. These are my favorite. Oh. Hey, you gotta be equal. Equals. 50-50, here. Damn! Figures hot on the outside, icicle in the middle.
2 minutes.
But you like that, right? Because you're a caveman. Cool, buddy.
I will be playing them, don't worry.
But it's like, dude, turn the caveman. You don't melt your caveman. You just call the paper, have the museum give you a couple $100,000 for it.
No, again, the whole premise of this is so flawed.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're going to get cool because we, like, are essentially using this person. And when it's probably, you get a lot of attention, be pretty cool that you discovered a living caveman in your backyard. You know, like, that's like, God, John Ice is such an asshole. I'm sorry. I just can't get around that.
he's the bad guy in the movie. When what I don't get is he ends up with the girl and he's done nothing to warrant being with the girl.
Oh my god, yes. Like, not even at that point. Because, look, she likes her boyfriend, obviously.
She likes her boyfriend, and then she starts to like Link.
Which he gets pissed at, as we said.
And then he finally realizes he's being the douche, and lets her go to prom with Link.
Yeah.
And then somehow, like, Link does his thing at the prom, and then it's like,
yeah, he goes there because they realize that he stole the pictures, and they don't want him to blow up his scene.
Yeah, yeah.
And so yeah, Link ends up, like, defending him and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And suddenly she likes him.
But then she just likes him just because, well, Link says you're a good guy. But at the same time, maybe he was the backup plan, because once she found out Link's frozen girlfriend was just unfrozen and Link's not into you anymore, okay, maybe I'll settle for Shauna.
Did I miss that when they found her?
It's just like barely mentioned. There's like another earthquake at the
party.
At the party. Like at the party at the end, and they melt her real quick and give her a makeover.
Oh, it's right when they leave the house and they realize that Matt stole the pictures. They leave the house and the earth starts to shake.
Yeah.
And then when they're at the party, Link and Stoney are walking along and they get to the glass door just like when they saw the handprints earlier, except we also get to see some cunts on the window.
Oh, okay, now that makes sense.
Yeah. And she is actually the love of my life.
That's also what you said about your fourth grade teacher.
Yeah. Wait, no, I have said that before. What was her name? Salerno.
This is not fourth grade slumber party. That'd be a much different show. This is high school slumber
party. No, but the cave girl, she's so hot. And the cave girl played Sonya Blade in Mortal Kombat, the movie.
Oh!
Wasn't Sonya Blade also the teacher in Billy Madison?
Huh.
Wait, which Mortal Kombat? It's the first Mortal Kombat, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I wasn't even, when you said that, I wasn't even thinking of Sonya Blade. I was thinking of Cammy from Street Fighter, but that was like Kylie Minogue.
Oh, speaking of Street Fighter, you don't think the bully looks like Guile in high school? Same haircut, same face. Like,
I can see that.
So the actress's name is Sandra Hess, and she's credited as Cave Nug. This is definitely what I'm going to call women from now on.
No, you're wrong. That's He's right. Little. She was in the sequel.
Sorry.
Got it.
Yeah, no, because the other one, because then she's Arnie's daughter in Last Action Hero, and she's hot too.
Okay, that's interesting.
She's that, and she's... whatever, yeah, the love interest in Billy Madison. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Miss Barack.
Well, she's hot, though.
Babes,
see, now, Billy Madison could
Yeah, look at this look at this aged cave nug.
Billy Madison would be like if I'm in, like,
that
season
could be
5 or 6.
Party show.
Yeah, yeah. No, because I could kind of claim that as a high school film, but that's, like, a stretch.
Goes through all the grades.
Yeah. It's a stretch. I guess let's get back to Pauly Shore.
Yes.
We briefly mentioned it before, but this is where the origins of one of Pauly Shore's signature catchphrases, I think, the weasel thing.
Yeah, he's the wheeze, he's wheezing the juice.
Wheezing the juice.
Yeah.
No wheezing the juice.
The beverage!
The icy, bro. This is what put this place on the map.
What are you doing, Mrs. Stoney? No, you can't do this. You can't do this here.
Now, please.
Look. Kashmir Rajneesh, why don't you just chill?
No, but still.
Link and I are cruising the mountain, bro, and we figure we's a little juice.
No,
wheezing the juice.
Wheeze the juice.
No, wheezing the juice.
No, wheezing the juice.
I actually like that world building in this film, like that those guys actually know him and he's like definitely gotten in there
he's
and done that before.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, well, Link's even cameos in Son-in-Law.
Yeah, Brendan
he's at a college party.
Yeah, he's at the college party.
As Link?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Is he as Link? I don't
know. Yeah, he doesn't speak and he's like eating like a I don't know, he's at the Halloween party.
So they exist in the same universe.
Yeah, there's two Pauly Shores in that world.
Do all Pauly Shores exist in the same universe?
Maybe. I don't know.
You gotta watch all of them now.
I mean, out of Encino Man, Biodome, Son-in-Law, Jury Duty, in the Army now.
Rose McGowan is also in this and in... She had a split second...
Yeah,
cameo in this. Well, it's not a cameo.
It was her debut. Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, that's cool.
She's in this for like half a minute, and then she goes on, obviously, to Biodome, which Biodome is also our first shot of Tenacious D playing as Tenacious D on film.
Really? Yes.
Yeah.
They're in
the college campus.
The college campus quad, and he's like, "We got to save some fucking trees," and the Kyle Gass is like playing.
I have
some
not
riffs.
Seen Biodome in a couple years.
I have to call.
but out of those like five very Pauly Shore movies, so like a Jury Duty, In the Army Now, Son-in-Law, Biodome, and Encino Man, how do you rank them?
Encino Man's not my number one.
Mm.
I think Biodome's always my number one.
Yeah?
Yeah, I love Biodome. Speaking of tasty nugs, you got Kylie Minogue in there. You know,
just brought
her
up.
Sure. Yeah.
Cammy. From Street Fighter film.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. Yeah. With Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. Supposed to be the all-American guy. And
I'm American number one. No.
So rank them.
Yeah.
Kyle put a question to you.
Biodome?
I'm doing this. I'm Biodome, Biodome and Son-in-Law are tough.
Yeah.
They're probably like the two
okay.
interchangeable one and twos.
Yeah.
Then I just have a soft spot for In the Army Now.
So that's your three.
Then Encino Man, then Jury Duty.
Then Encino Man, then Jury
Duty. Wow, so this is one of your least favorite Pauly Shore films.
Pauly Shore movies are kind of like sex. You know, when you're having it...
It's great.
Even bad sex is still pretty good.
Like pizza, too.
No, there's some really bad pizza.
So this gets 15% on Rotten Tomatoes by critics. That's not a very good score.
Yeah, but, you know going to this... You're like, also talking to someone... I love Starship Troopers. I know... It's not a critically acclaimed movie.
But Starship Troopers actually is like has a lot more to say and is like smarter in a way.
Not Starship
than
Troopers.
Than
this? Well, that's what we're talking about. I'm talking about Starship Troopers too.
No, but it's 55% audience.
Audience.
So that's a big spread. But I feel like I talk to a lot of people and they like really like this movie.
I think people love it because it, especially people our age and slightly older, it's a huge nostalgia factor. It's not even, it's like, when you saw it, you were probably a kid, and probably, when you have that, it's funny.
Yeah, you're just a little nug.
Yeah, it's just, and it doesn't need to be, we're definitely overthinking it. That's the problem.
By the way, Starship Troopers, 63% on Rotten Tomatoes, so that's not that bad.
What's Starship Troopers 2 Marauders?
I can't even imagine. No, you're right, because, like, this is definitely, I think, of the Pauly Shore films, I think this and Biodome are the most like cult classic in terms of what people
for sure.
Like talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, like
Son-in-Law, I think is his best film.
It's the overall
best like well-rounded, well-made movie.
Son-in-Law is definitely the best movie.
Plot and like
Biodome incessantly quotable.
Yeah,
like every part of that movie is quotable.
Yeah, no, but again, I think this one and Biodome are like if people say Pauly Shore movies, these are the first two that they come up with.
I also think like Encino Man and Biodome are the two sides of the 90s.
What like, do you mean?
Because I feel like when people think about the 90s, they think about like the very much the high school thing. It's like, okay, look at Sean Astin's parents in this movie. They're the first time we're seeing I'm the 90s mom. I'm out of the house and I'm working. It's like, and they're so obsessed with like work and being that corporate thing, and that they don't even know like, oh, we agreed to have an exchange student in the house. Oh yeah, sure. That sounds familiar. It's like
that is true.
It's like they're just that ignorant and almost in a negative light, going like, this is what happens when you let women work. You know, the family falls apart. Like,
it's a weird
subtle message of like, you know. But then on Biodome, it's the other side of it where you first get the, I don't want to say like the grunge movement, but like that's where we first started seeing a lot of like, Ben, how'd you get a job? Fucking President Clinton. Like, it's like this whole political statement, and then that's where environmentalism really took an upturn.
No, that's
like
a good point.
90s.
That's a good point.
And like obviously that's why it was like relevant at the time. That's why you could make a movie about it. It's like, so it's kind of like the two sides of the 90s where you had like the beginning of it, and there's still a very 80s-esque feel to Encino Man, like because it's, and then versus Biodome, which is
Kyle, you brought 90s. This up on one of the podcasts we've done together. I think it was Orange County, where you said like decades aren't like by the numbers so much.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a couple years.
No, it's
into
decades
a decade.
Start like midway because it has to establish itself.
Yeah, exactly.
You're still fading out from the last
and
one.
This definitely feels more like an 80s film than
But no, I was just going to say, because when you're saying like the working parents, like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, one of the biggest like 80s high school movies ever, like you think of both of those parents working.
Reagan Bush era.
Yeah, Reagan. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's interesting and it's funny and it's like a nice little criticism. But this, overall, this is like, besides for like the rapiness of the film of Sean Astin's character, it's generally like a harmless film.
Oh, yeah.
Besides for, again, lingo and potentially having your children.
Well, that and I
do
love
Pauly Shore accents.
My favorite part of like, and this isn't the only movie that does it, but like the California high school thing. They have their generic
dance number at the end.
No, like very specific, you have your very specific clicks. Like, oh, these two are the B-boys, and they open their locker and it just says hip hop. It's like, oh yeah, you know. And it's like, these are the skaters, and these are the bullies, and this is the computer club nerd. It's, and you can't be one or the other or part of both. It's like you are exactly.
No, it's true.
Well, that's what like, cool but that's yeah, but that's especially that's definitely what like the 80s and then the 90s perpetuated, especially even with shows like Real World. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because they want that conflict.
Classification.
Yeah.
And generally, it's something that, again, in my studies of high school films, that I've seen a lot in terms of, like...
Yeah, I mean, they brand it in Breakfast Club.
And you and I, Kyle, have disagreed on this, but I didn't find high school to be definitely a little bit more ambiguous.
Absolutely.
Not like straightforward, but we definitely, there were cliques at, like, in high school. Well, we had stoners, we had jocks, we had the popular girls, there were artsy people too. And
you had like football players who were also in the theater.
But know, I
which also happens in, like, then, like, we find out that Emilio Estevez has, like, the heart of gold, you know? Like,
yeah, but it's always, like, a secret in like, high school films. Yeah. It's not so much, like...
Yeah, but also, like, I feel like in these high school films, it's everybody's either one or the other, where it's, like, honestly, like when you, Kyle, have your thought of, like, the popular girls in high school, that's a group of, like, six people. There was, like, a couple hundred people we graduated with. What was everybody else doing? You know, it's like, clearly, like... If you're popular, but you're only hanging out with six people.
No, there were other popular girls, but, like, to quote another high school movie, like, Mean Girls or whatever, they're like the plastics or whatever, right?
I mean, even in a sense, like, shit, we were cliquey at that point. We had our little group of friends, and we...
Yeah, I mean, look, in every little social situation, people are going to divide themselves in groups. I just don't think they were, like, as well-defined
as exactly,
the films.
It's not. I mean...
No, I'm not... Yeah, like, I'm not saying it's exactly like movies, but I did think that we had, like, you know...
Like, we were really close to Tommy Teets until you forced us to kick him out.
Oh,
that did not happen in the slightest.
Yes, that's true. That is,
what are you doing here, Ryan Fried?
That is true. So, I mean, this is a fun time to tell a story, right?
Yeah, that's fun.
What exactly did that generate from? So,
I was out on, like, a Friday and a Monday, so it was like we didn't see, you know, like, you don't see one another for 4 days.
So there was someone we grew up with, Tommy Teets. He just didn't like you.
Because I remember he was in our bio class.
Yeah.
And do you remember? I don't know why. I don't know why it started, but me and Wes used to just keep punching him in the arm, and he had that giant bruise for, like, weeks.
Oh, man. No, but he
it was like initiation.
He got along with us, and I don't know.
It wasn't like we hated him or anything.
We had, like, two tables that sat next to each other at lunch, and for whatever reason, because you were sick or something?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was out.
He was out for like a day or something.
Yeah, and he started... No, it was like 2 or 3 days. And he started sitting in your chair.
Yeah.
And then the day you got back...
Yeah.
Like, what is it? Reinfried, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I sat down already, and then he comes. He's standing there with his, like, tray of food. And he's like, Reinfried, what are you doing
here? I remember it was an interesting dynamic. In gym class, because, like, for whatever reason, like, we broke up into badminton partners.
Yeah.
And for some reason, you weren't in every one of my gym classes, and he wasn't in every one of something like that. So, like, one of the periods, he was my partner. One of the periods, you were my partner. And there was one that you both were in, so you had to alternate as my partner.
Yeah.
Gym class is so, so weird. But you know what? I fucking miss gym class. I would love if I took, like, an hour of my work day just to play, like...
Badminton.
Yeah,
archery.
Early.
Archery, or like,
I was good at archery in gym class,
or just like stuff like that. A lot of people, like, you talk about, like, or at least in movies, like, they're afraid of PE or whatever. But it was never.
It's not like we were, like, climbing ropes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, movies, it's more like
it wasn't
that,
true,
like,
physical prowess. You know?
No. Exactly.
But
like
a good point about gym class. I feel like that's where you see stereotypical high school, like, attitudes, because that's where you get, like, the really competitive kids versus the kids that really don't care.
That's true.
And, like, you'll
true.
Get the one kid on your gym volleyball team that's like, come on, pick it up. It's like, dude, I just want to go at it. You know, it's like, I just want to get the next class without getting sweaty because I don't feel like getting changed.
Like, yeah, what a shitty concept.
I used to have a lot of fun in gym. Like, it just, like, playing.
We had a gym class together.
We had gym together almost every year.
Yeah, and we had a really weird class at one point. It was like me, you, Mike Cho, like CJ, and the Russian kid.
Who was the Russian
Eugene.
Kid?
Eugene. The
Eugene.
Tall,
yo,
tall
Eugene,
one.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, no. That was. I was in Eugene's gym class a lot, and I was almost always in your gym class.
Yeah.
What a weird environment, like the locker room, you know? I used to like the locker room because I was just. We were in there a while, but it takes you like 2 seconds to change. I don't understand.
Nobody wanted to go do anything.
Oh, man. But, I mean, yeah. Back to Encino Man. The more I think about it, and I hate to keep beating this point, but, like, we talk about cliques. I get why Sean Astin is not cool.
Yeah.
This is
no,
one
it's totally, like, self... He's not a good guy in this movie.
No. I get why Pauly Shore's not cool because he's, like, alternative.
He just marches to a beat of a different drum.
Yeah, and that's fine. And he accepts it and he wants it.
This is me being me. I just want to be. He says it. Like, I just want to be me.
And that's great. That's great.
And that's, like, your hidden, like, message here. Like, that lukewarm message of just be yourself. But, like, yeah, we're supposed to be kind of rooting for Dave, you know, John Astin's character.
But we're not. We're not.
And it's like, you're watching, it's like, dude, you'd be wearing a fedora saying m'lady. And, like, being really mad when girls don't date you, like, this time of year. Like, that's not this time of year.
I almost wish, like, Jenny was here because she'd have a good term for what these guys are. Because, like, they're...
Red pills?
They're just, yeah, they're, like, people, like you said, on Reddit fucking complaining about, like...
Getting friend-zoned and stuff.
Yeah, like, oh, you know, like, I don't know why she doesn't see in me. Like, just, like, dude...
Like, the typical nice guy, like...
Yeah, like, oh, I'm the nice guy. But, like, no, you're not. That's why it's so weird that he unpromptedly ends up with the girl.
Yeah, and there's like, no reason for
it. Yeah, he says something really creepy, like, I've got something cool to show you. And he leans in for a kiss.
Oh. He's like, I got a caveman in my yard.
Yeah, like, since when has had a romantic... I need you to come over. I found a caveman in my yard. It's like, A, you're not giving you anything to go on as far as, like, believability, like... But still, like, when is that a romantic, like, hey, you want to make out on top of this dead guy? this frozen guy doing it for you?
We mentioned when they, like, abandon, like, or I shouldn't say they, because it's literally just Dave abandoning
Link.
Yeah,
they get in a fight about it. Stoney.
What did you think of, like, Pauly Shore's dramatic turn there?
Hey! Talk to me, Dave. Let me know what's going on, man. What are you doing?
Letting him go. What? Look, I can't handle him anymore. Besides, he'll be better off with somebody else, all right?
No, he's not, Dave. Please, just listen to me. Call him back.
I can't take it anymore.
I'm not kidding, Dave. Call him back.
It's done, man.
I'm serious. Call him back.
You know that's harsh. He's not my responsibility. You're the one who wheezed off his gig the whole time because you thought maybe he'd get you somewhere. And now the guy gets a little crusty and you're just gonna bag him. It's not happening, Dave. I'm sorry, that's not how it works with friends, man. You don't bag your friends just because they get in your way, no matter what, dude.
Like, you care? The only thing you have ever cared about in your life is Nugs, chilling, and grindage.
Yeah, well, I happen to care right now.
That's convenient. You came along for the ride, and you let me do the dirty work because you thought it might work out to your advantage.
Those are desperate words of a loser. Maybe Matt Wilson was right about you all along.
Take that back, Stoney.
No, you take it back.
Take it back!
You take it back!
Loser.
Really? All right.
Link has his little, like, breakdown at the museum.
Yeah.
When he realizes that everything he is and knows is, like, gone and dead. And Pauly Shore's the one that's like, hey, we're your family now. Like, so Pauly Shore's, like, Stoney has, like, this legitimate, like, care for this character. And then when he realizes what Sean Astin's doing, he's like, dude, you're, you know, like I said, it's like Old Yeller, except Old Yeller's not sick.
But like, do you feel like Dave, Sean Astin, comes to a realization that he's doing the wrong thing?
Yeah, no, because then he's just like, you know what, yeah, go to prom with him, I'm gonna stay home. Like, he does have a turnaround.
He does send her out with Link on their own.
And the only reason he goes to prom is because then he doesn't want...
Yeah, they're gonna blow up a spot. Yeah, exactly. With the pictures.
Yeah. Mm. Which, again, I don't even think that would matter. Yeah,
no, it wouldn't.
Again, no matter what they say, nobody's gonna believe that this is actually...
Yeah, but it's also dumb high school. Like, like the mind of a high schooler, so...
So, a couple other notes I want to talk about, just things I took down.
Who was considered for the role of Link?
Oh yeah, Kyle, you have some IMDb trivia you'd like to share.
Another popular '90s comedian, Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey was going to be Link.
Yeah,
I don't know. And I feel like Link is a good-looking guy. No,
also, Jim Carrey was voted at least once, if not twice, world's sexiest man.
He was not voted sexiest man alive.
It seems like he would have been a lot older. Wasn't he already doing like In Living Color stuff?
In Living Color, sure, but I mean...
Brendan Fraser, like I said, was 20.
Well, okay, you want the other guy that we're talking about age and not that attractive of a guy or whatever?
Nothing unattractive.
Okay, but our godfathers will appreciate this. Nick Cage was... They were thinking about Nick Cage as well.
Well, Nick Cage can do no wrong.
Yeah.
Nick Cage, I mean, that's... Yeah, you're, like you said, appeasing the Godfather.
Yeah.
Here, Cage Club Podcast Network. I feel like almost every IMDb trivia I read
boils down to Nick Cage.
Yeah, Nick Cage was up for this role, point. And something happened.
Dan, I didn't want to misspeak, so I'm just gonna read right from the IMDb trivia. I feel like you would appreciate this. The band playing at the prom is funk metal supergroup Infectious Grooves, featuring Mike Muir of the thrash punk band Suicidal Tendencies, with vocals Dean Pleasant. With vocals Dean Pleasant on guitar, Adam Siegel of Excel on lead guitar, Stephen Perkins of Jane's Addiction on drums, and Robert Trujillo of Suicidal Tendency, who currently plays bass with Metallica.
Almost every movie I do has a prom scene with
them. They were a cool band.
Impromptu.
I love the little, like, that's a very Pauly Shore dance. It's like, does, like, the woo, like, you can't, it's the vocals
like the
right now.
Like, knee, like you're jumping over a small
thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I love getting into the, like, the band. And
90s, like, late 80s, early 90s had such great, like, funk with, like, George Clinton and, like.
Well, it's because it's either Parliament. That or it's ska.
Yeah.
And you get, like, a ska. Lot of, like, real big fish. And I'm sorry, you cannot listen to ska and be sad. it's physically impossible.
Challenge, guys. Challenge, audience. Find me a sad ska song.
Sad ska song.
Oh, man. So, other notes I had. There's an gay slur by Michael DeLuise, right?
He says, yeah.
What are you doing, fag? Like, that's a little jarring.
Well, it's just again, time difference. It totally wouldn't fly these days.
Yeah, I don't think he was calling him gay. I think he was just...
Nah, and,
always weird now watching a movie and hearing that.
Because and you always sound terrible if you're trying to defend it. Not saying defend
no,
it.
No, I know you're not trying to defend
it. Trying to rationalize it, I guess, is the better way to say it. And it's like, I don't know,
it's just, again,
no,
like,
good way to do it.
Change in the language.
Move on in the times.
it's so just weird.
And you're right, it's jarring because... You don't see it these days, at least not, like, in movies like this. Like, you know, and so when you do hear it, like, oh, yeah, I forgot that was, like, an insult. Like, it's just been it's been so long because, like, obviously we're a lot more socially conscious now. And you don't see it on, like, TV or in movies anymore where it was kind of, you know, it was funny back then. But obviously now the word carries a lot more weight. So it's, like, it's been slowly disavowed from, like, the lexicon. And it's, like, so when you do hear it, it's, like, oh, damn. Right.
That yeah, like that's people would just say that, and that was
like that wasn't you know back then it wasn't taboo or like considered as hard hitting, you know.
So other things I had, we mentioned the whole roller coaster scene. I mean that
yeah,
was
cover me fourth period. Let's go to Magic Mountain on a scooter. How long would it take you to get there on a friggin' scooter?
I like how the really cool place to hang out, Blades, is a hockey place.
Okay, me and my fiance were watching it. Like, and I get high school's weird when it comes to hanging out places. You're not old enough to really go out drinking or anything like that. And there's not many places that would let you like congregate like that like late at night. And I'm sitting there going, like, of all the places, you know, we hung out at like, you know, the Bi-State Plaza, hanging out outside the McDonald's on our skateboard.
Yeah.
Not even eating McDonald's, just to be somewhere. And I get that thing about high school because, like I said, you can't go out drinking or anything like that. But we're watching it, and like of all the places to go, it's like, okay, we even like woods parties were a common thing. You know, like, let's go drinking in the woods or, you know. But to go to the ice rink when nobody else was ice skating and they were only watching, like, what, like, 10 kids play hockey and not even good hockey?
Yeah, it wasn't a game.
It wasn't a game. It was just, like, pickup hockey, and the dude's out there skating in his, like, J. Crew sweater.
Mind you, it's Southern California.
Yeah.
You know?
But,
it's not, like...
Unless you know it's thematic that, you know, it's ice. Not frozen.
I guess, but this movie doesn't take place in Winnipeg, where that might be the cool place to hang out.
The funny thing is, I'm like, what high schoolers are hanging out at the ice rink? And my fiance goes, oh, we used to hang out at Iceland all the time. And
are you serious? Oh, wow.
God.
I guess,
and
I
I'm
guess
like,
proven
oh, I
wrong
guess
there.
Maybe that's it, yeah.
Huh, but that's interesting. It's just such a random place.
Maybe the North Jersey, we're the weird ones.
I guess, yeah, I guess we're the weird crowd when it comes to that. You like how this movie ended in a freeze frame?
Again, another 80s thing that bled out into the later 90s.
But it makes sense thematically, like you said. He was...
maybe that's a...
No, come on. Oh, did you see it? It goes at the end, buddy.
Yeah,
like it's
buddy.
Right
there. And it's the
hyphen. Yeah, he says, I'll be back.
I'll be back.
What year was Terminator 2?
90?
Okay, so just right was before this.
It was, yeah.
It's so crazy. All right, so do your best Pauly Shore voice saying Wheezing the Juice.
Just Wheezing the Juice?
Yeah, you could say other things, but that's required.
All right, so...
No Wheezing the Juice. No Wheezing the Juice!
Wheezing the Juice!
It's the Leaning Tower of Chisa.
What's flowing, that? Keep on going, cruise on down the lane.
Yeah, what?
It's a shame none of the other films are high school films.
Okay, so what he says, I love what he says to the dad. If you're edged because I'm wheezing all your grinders, just chill. Because if I had the whole Brady Bunch thing happen at my pad, I'd go grind over there. So don't tax my gig so hardcore, Custer.
But that's the other thing. You're getting, like, through stupid little comments like that, you're getting the, like, Stoney's always at Dave's place because he has a really shitty home life.
Yeah, like his parents are like either divorced or something.
Yeah, his parents are divorced, and like his brother, like, left. There was something weird with the brother.
There is. You're and, right. Like, it's a fleshed out
basically
character.
Basically saying, like, if you're mad because I'm eating your food, I wouldn't be here, but my parents aren't feeding me.
It's sad. It's so
it's
sad.
It's like, and that's why he's wheezing juice and stealing, you know, like, milk duds.
Oh, man.
That's what he thinks is a balanced food group is screwed, because Stoney's coming from a really sad sitch.
Stoney. So, again, I'm really, really disappointed that this is the only... Pauly Shore high school
film. Yeah, because Biodome and Son-in-Law are both college.
In the Army now.
Not going to college.
Yeah, not going to college.
And that's how you end up with Andy Dick.
wow, Pauly Shore and Andy Dick in the same film. That's. Oh, man. Anything else you want to add for Encino Man?
I love it. Like Dan said, there's like the nostalgic factor, but I love Pauly Shore. I think, I don't know, he's a national treasure.
It comes down to, it's like, obviously, they even knew it when they were making these movies. Pauly Shore carries it. Upon rewatching it, I didn't realize how much I hated, not Sean Astin, but Sean Astin's character in this
movie. Kind of Sean Astin a little bit.
Now, he redeemed himself as Bob in
Stranger Things. Fair. So I'm remembering the first time I heard of Pauly Shore. I was like my mother quickly like trashing him a little bit. I think he was on MTV or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
And my mom was like, "Oh, that's Pauly Shore." I'm like, "Oh, I don't know him." And she's like, "Basically, his mom got him into comedy, and everyone resents him for it."
Yeah.
And he's just notoriously very annoying. it came back to me now. Her saying that, just like such a concise description of that. I'm like, "Oh, okay."
But honestly, it's like when you're a kid though. Annoying is hilarious.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
even think about early Jim Carrey. Like,
oh my god, like, somebody
just,
stop me.
It's
the
all
mask.
Just really weird noises and like slick catchphrases.
Well, I mean, think of cartoons, like kids' cartoons. Those people are, like, cartoon characters are so annoying. Like, you know, even Bugs Bunny is like an annoying guy. Like, that's his shtick.
It's comedy gold.
All right, so if there's nothing else, we do like we do every time, we're going to rate this on a scale of 1 to 5. What should our rubric be? What should our scale be?
Wheeze juice.
Wheeze juices. Yeah, but that's hard to be plural on that.
Yeah.
Ounces of wheeze juice.
How much fundage?
Fundage.
Grindage.
Grindage.
Nugs?
Nugs.
Nugs. I think nugs is a
God.
Gazongas.
Gazongas. Yeah.
But that's in a set of two, so it's a little bit.
That is true. So you don't want to get odd gazongas.
Betty's?
Yeah. Betty's. Betty's. There's actually a good bunch of stuff that we could pick here.
Links.
Links. Mm-hmm. I don't like to multiply characters.
No, that is.
Because that's a little odd.
How many meat groups?
Okay. That's fair. I like that. So, Kyle, we'll start with you. How many meat groups for a high school film will you give Encino Man?
Five.
Come on. Are you really giving this 5 out of 5?
4.5 out of 5.
4.5 meat groups? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's not even in Dan's top Pauly Shore movies.
That's fine. We're not talking Pauly Shore. We're talking movies.
Okay, 4 out of 5, which is one of the highest rankings ever given on this podcast for a high school film. Explain yourself.
It's Pauly Shore. He's an American treasure. I don't understand people that hate him. Anyone that hates him doesn't know how to enjoy life, and I pity you.
If you listen to every episode of my podcast, which I know you do because you're a good person.
Yes.
If you listen to every episode of the podcast, at the end of it, years from now when I finish, decades from now, when I'm an old man and I'm still doing this podcast, this will probably rank in your top 5 or top 10 of high school films.
No, I mean, there's a lot of really great... I mean, like, obviously, like, Ferris Bueller's Day Off beats this movie.
So, you're just a high scorer.
Yeah, I'm just being a high scorer on this.
You give a lot of 4.5s and 5s. Okay, I'm just curious. Yeah, I'm serious. Yeah. I've rarely seen a score that high for any film, so I'm surprised that this one got it. But okay, so, Dan.
I mean, I agree with Kyle. I mean, in the sense that, like, I'm a Pauly Shore loyalist. Like I said, it's a good, nostalgic movie. Pauly Shore is hilarious in it, and, like, you got to know what you're getting into when you're watching it. You're not looking for, you know, you're no, not looking for Schindler's List here.
Even
like
the consensus says that, you know,
but,
depends on your toleration for Pauly Shore.
And there are much better Pauly Shore movies. Like I said, it's Biodome, In the Army Now, Son-in-Law. I all rank above this one. But it is, like I said, it's the first Pauly Shore movie when you think of it. Like this, I'll give it a solid 3. Like it's not as bad as people say it is. People rip on it too hard. It's really kind of fun to watch it now with a new set of eyes, like for and yeah, I gotta give it a solid 3.
Solid 3. Okay, so I scored it as a 3. What do we do again?
Meat groups.
Yeah, 3 meat groups. I did it as a 3 as well. And look, for the most part, yeah, there's some sexist tropes. Yeah.
Ah, whatever.
Yeah, okay. It's my turn.
Sorry.
Yeah, Sean Astin like sucks. But at the crux of this film, even the cover has
no Sean Astin.
Yeah, no
on
Sean
it.
Astin, just Pauly Shore and Brendan
Fraser. Pauly
Shore
doing like kind of like, you know, like the yoga, the hand out, the Tai Chi kind of thing.
Wiggly fingers.
He's the world would be a better place with a lot more Pauly Shore.
For that,
we all just sat down and wee some juice.
Yeah.
When you eliminate Sean Astin from this, it's not a bad movie. It has like a decent amount of heart. It's like somewhat funny presence. I can't.
It's a stepping stone.
Yeah.
To more like to what he.
Pauly Shore wasn't even supposed to be like. He was also considered for the role of Link. But
really?
But they realized like, oh, we're totally underutilizing him, and they wrote the role of Stoney. Said, oh, let's have a character for Pauly Shore in this movie, and then he like. None of those lines were in the movie. It was completely improv.
That makes sense.
Which is amazing, because he's the emotional core of that movie.
He is.
It would be a shit movie without Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
No, exactly, and that's the heart of the film.
Yeah.
But I can't give this more than a 3, and that might even be generous, because again, 80% of it, nothing happens. Yeah. Like, it's really, nothing happens. This sometimes felt like a long episode of something, or like a pilot episode of like a show where like a caveman was gonna be, you know what it reminded me of? Like Disney Channel or like ABC Family used to do like their own movies every month.
Right, right.
And it reminds me of one of those premises, like a caveman comes in the teenager's backyard, and this is what happens, you know. But it's not bad, you know. It's not like that doesn't make it bad. And again, it's elevated by its. If you like Pauly Shore, you're gonna like this movie. Yeah. If you hate Pauly Shore,
stay away.
Yeah, you're not gonna
also,
like this movie.
Don't talk to me.
I mean, this is when the world was introduced to him.
Yeah,
sure,
no,
this
mean,
might have been
yes
his
and no.
This might have been his act in the stand-up, but this is the world meeting Pauly Shore.
Yes, and I'm not sure. I think he might have been on MTV before this.
He was on MTV before this.
Stony individual.
Because I'm the weasel.
Did check out the wood you created.
Are you down to chow some serious grindage?
Go starts or chillin' major.
Totally Pauly.
Okay. And, you know, he was pretty popular there. But, yes, acting-wise, yes. So, again, people listening to this will be like, what the fuck are these guys talking about? Pauly Shore has made
the
zero impact on American society.
Treasure.
America's treasure that 30 minutes before we said, let's go see Pauly Shore at a shopping mall. And we did. And we sat front row.
And that's why we don't respect things in our culture anymore. We've lost these.
I mentioned the sexist tropes. You're like... Oh, enough of that, whatever you said.
Yeah, whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, sexist tropes. It's a movie from the 90s. That's going to have it. Don't let it happen
but
anymore.
God forbid someone disrespects Pauly Shore. That crosses the line.
Yeah, because he's still existing and he's moved on. We're making these changes so there's no more sexist tropes in movies, but there still should be Pauly Shore movies.
Still should be Pauly Shore.
Makes a ton of sense there.
Yeah. He's 50 years young. He's a magical human being.
I'm waiting for Still in the Army, the sequel.
he's achieved the rank of general. He conducts like a war. Like, not in the level that they do in that film. You know what I mean. Okay, Kyle, you first. Where can people follow you? Promote your show. Do your thing.
All right, buddies. You can find me on Foodie Films. You got more than five major food groups. You've got plenty of food films. It's on the Cage Club Podcast Network.
And why don't you try for your sake saying it and not the Pauly Shore voice so people actually find the show?
All right, Foodie Films on cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. I'm on Instagram as, like, you know, Foodie Films, and the Twitters and Facebooks.
Any new hashtags?
New hashtags?
On the personal. What's your Instagram again?
The specific... Oh, my your personal? Oh, Kyle's underscore here underscore now. And my, like, ones for that are Talk to Me Babe and El Hamon.
All right, your home address and phone number?
Yes.
61 Reservoir Avenue, apartment 1, Jersey City.
I'm keeping that in.
Yeah.
For all the stalkers. Zip code?
07307, something like that.
So if you want to send fan mail or... No, I don't want to say it. I don't want to, like...
They don't need the
I was going to say that. I'm like, I don't want that to actually happen.
They don't need the zip code, though. They just write down 61 Reservoir Avenue, apartment 1, Jersey City. You can't,
yeah, but they won't send them.
Google Jersey City. Find the zip code.
And find the one zip code.
Yeah.
Okay, Dan. Anything you want to promote, talk about, any contact you want to give your home address, invite people to your wedding, perhaps.
No, we're good with that. There's too many people already. But no, we're good. Don't follow me.
So thanks, guys, for coming on. Thanks for talking about Encino Man and Pauly Shore. And I hope Pauly Shore listens to this, because at least he knows he has two big fans here.
Hashtag him up, bro.
I'll hashtag him. I'll tag him. And he's a guy who probably
hashtagging him. He responds to nothing. I also hashtag him in nothing that matters. But
yeah, but that's kind of, I don't know. I expect him to be more interactive on the social media.
Yeah. Maybe not. So.
Well, thanks so much, guys.
I'll be back.
Have you tried that?
I did. I have his cookbook that you guys got.
Yeah.
And I hashtag him when I cook out of it.
All right, I know I said goodbye, but I have to mention that I'm a little upset that I don't have the fundage. To get you
for
Sammy,
the grindage
to get you Sammy Hagar for your wedding, because it's something I always wanted to do.
Maybe one of your listeners does plug that shit.
Yeah, so if anyone knows Sammy Hagar and's got an inside connect
for a good cause,
it's for a good cause. I wanted it as Dan's wedding gift, but I mean, so far no luck.
He wanted Sammy Hagar as Dan's wedding gift.
Yes,
my own personal Sammy Hagar.
Yeah, I'll bring that.
For the use, any kind of use of your wedding. Well, anyway, thanks, guys. That was a fun one. Lots of Pauly Shore talk. Big thank you to two big Pauly Shore fans, Kyle and Dan, for hopping on and chatting about Encino Man, or California Man, as you Europeans and I guess the rest of the world know this film as. It was nice to dive a little bit into the Pauly Shore career, because I don't think we'll get a chance to talk about him again on this podcast. Unless he, responds to this episode, hopefully he doesn't block us, but responds to this episode and is, excited and, Brian, I want to talk films with you. Then, Pauly Shore, you have an open invitation to hop on High School Slumber Party. But that's probably never going to happen. And, by the way, looked it up, no, Kyle, Jim Carrey was never Sexiest Man Alive. Though, he's not a bad-looking guy, I guess, and he's a truly funny guy. I'm a Jim Carrey fan, so that's not a diss. It's just a fact, correct? Anyway, next week we got a cool film. A film that I hadn't seen for a while and, frankly, hardly remembered. Watched again, and I was like, wow, this film is really up my alley. The film is Ghost World.
What do you think you're doing? Shut up that damn noise!
Rock and roll, baby. Freedom of speech.
That guy rules.
I can't believe we made it.
We graduated high school. How totally amazing.
I can't help but feel I had some small part in how you turned out.
Sometimes I think I might be going crazy from sexual frustration.
You just hate every single guy on the face of the earth.
That's not true. I just hate all these extroverted, pseudo-bohemian losers.
You guys up for some reggae tonight?
Do you have any other old records besides these?
Seymour does.
Who does?
Oh, him. He's the man with the records.
What, are we in slow motion here? Come on, what are you, hypnotized? Have some more kids, why don't you?
Jaan pehchaan ho, jeena aasaan ho.
I'm allowed to place one student from your graduating class for a full one-year scholarship, and I took the liberty of submitting your name. This could be a really great thing for you.
Would I have to take classes and stuff?
Well,
I'm just not the kind of guy who has a type.
Every guy has a type. What about her?
Whoa.
Would you go out with her?
As long as she's breathing.
Hey! Hey! You! How many times I tell you? No shirt, no service. Get the hell out of my store. What do you think this is, Club Med?
It's America, dude. Learn the rules.
Loosen up. Yeah. Feel the music.
Ghost World. The underground comic book comes to life.
We have to get together this summer.
Yeah, that'll definitely happen.
Written by Daniel Klaus and Terry Zwigoff. Directed by Terry Zwigoff.
Do you serve beer or any alcohol?
After about 5 minutes of this movie, you're gonna wish you had 10 beers.
So that's your homework assignment. Watch Ghost World. We'll be chatting about it next week, and it's gonna be a fun chat. Your other homework assignments, obviously. Get John Cusack to unblock us, and, have a happy Thanksgiving. One of my favorite holidays. Lots of great food. Family, yes, but the food. Do you like the cranberry sauce in the can, or do you like it just au naturel? Like, you like to feel the graininess of the cranberries. What's your preference? Who the hell am I, Kyle? Mr. Foodie Films? Never mind. I mean, I would like to know, but whatever. I eat both. I love cranberry sauce either way. Oh, and the leftovers? Yes, there needs to be leftovers. I hate when there's not leftovers. I am such a selfish person because I've never cooked a Thanksgiving meal or even a Thanksgiving dish in my life. I just go over family homes and eat their food and hope that there's leftovers. Wow, as I say this out loud, terrible. So first world of me. I apologize, but I kind of don't because I love it and I can't wait to eat the food. Anyway, watch Ghost World and participate. Class participation is very important here at the Slumber Party. Social media, that's the way to do it. That's one way to do it, I guess. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm always posting and I love to chat. Send me a message. I will write back. That's the kind of life I live. No. I love chatting with the slumbers and, you know, I like building a dialogue. Like I said, class participation is important. Another way that you can help out the show and participate is to write a review on any place you can listen to this podcast. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. And of course, well, you can't write a review here, but you can listen here. It's cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. And while you're there, check out all the other great shows on the Cage Club Podcast Network. Spotlight today is, of course, on Foodie Films because our guest, Kyle Reinfried, is the host of Foodie Films. But tons of other great stuff. Whistle Thinking, What Am I Eating? The Contenders, Third Time's a Charm, Real Bad. Every show on every hot person like Zac Efron and Ryan Gosling. Too Fast, Too Forever, the Fast and Furious podcast. Lots of great shows, like I said. Oh, Winona Forever. And of course, I don't know if the voting is still open for these, but the award should be soon for, I don't know what they're called, something like the Chrome Teeth, I believe, something like that. But it's the awards for Watch the Throne, which is the Charlize Theron or Charlize Theron podcast. Lots of great shows, lots of pop culture shows. You get the point. Time for bed, slumbers. So today or tonight or whenever you're listening, I leave you with a song that was, well, at least a band that was alluded to in this podcast. They were the prom band, and they're like a super group of a lot of musicians. Infectious Grooves. The song is the song that Link actually dances to in Encino Man. Feed the monkey.
I'll be back.
Later, dudes.
It's over. Go home. Go.